It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Nancy, you're in plaid and I'm not.
Oh, I'm sorry. I dressed specifically for you today.
You know what? I'm so glad you are picking up the plaid train and the plaid mantle. I'm not going to apologize because I am in my first turtleneck of the season.
You are.
Season.
Well,
so I am technically representing the season, am I not?
I need to tell you that I looked for my turtlenecks and I have not quite found them yet.
I found the one that was cotton because it's still crossover season.
Right.
Where it could be 80 tomorrow. We have no idea of knowing.
We have no idea. Right.
But anyway, talk about no idea of knowing. Welcome to the Design Coach Radio Show.
That's
right here
start.
On Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano, and available on Spotify. Yes, you in the front in the blue plaid.
I have to tell you that part of the reason why I'm in flannel is because I'm pretty much living in flannel right now because we are in between furnaces.
And there's wrong.
So I have no heat
in my
house.
And what's wrong with that, living in flannel?
Well, I have no
now,
heat
if you
in my house.
Now, if you start cutting the sleeves off,
well,
then, they, you know what I mean? If you go all Eric Church on me, I don't know.
I'm from
We're going to have a conversation.
I'm from Indiana.
I still say that if you cut out the sleeves off flannel, you've missed the entire point of flannel.
Y'all have missed. That's the proper terminology. Like, y'all have missed the proper.
Right? I guess. Yeah.
I'll keep trying to tell
you. Good morning, everybody. Listen, I am thrilled.
You are in exceptionally, like, I don't even know how to describe the mood.
I'm giddy because it's interesting. I have been waiting so long to get out of my own way. And the topic of today's show is get over yourself. And I am going to give specific examples of how I've had to get over myself to achieve better things.
Can I give some?
And it's been the
he's
most
not even going to let
it's
me.
It's been the most frustrating and liberating thing I've ever done, and I think it's extremely instructional. Okay.
Okay.
But yes, you again in the front.
I just am curious as if you're going to let me. Talk about anybody that I think should get over themselves.
No, oh, wow.
Probably not.
You know, I would
probably
refrain from naming names.
Okay.
However, I cannot guarantee that is
I know
a, that
you're
is a matter
mention that, guy.
That is a matter of well, let's just call it as a matter yes, metaphors, okay? That people listening might not know that it might be them, but
okay.
I'm not saying that.
Let's have
that's
fun
a
with
foregone
that.
Conclusion.
That'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not sending any veiled messages on today's show. Okay?
Oh.
And we're not going to name names, but what we're going to do is the only name we're going to name is my name, and there are some specific things along this journey at the Design Coach. To be able to build this team, to be able to build this model, and to be able to serve clients the way that we do and the way that I always envisioned that required me to actually remove myself. And that's really antithetical, right? Because we're such a culture based on, you know, like, well, I have to do it and I want to do it and I should be the one doing it. Partially because we just can't give up the credit. You know, sometimes that's an issue is we can't give
that's
up
the wrong C word.
Wanting to give that
nope.
up.
That's the wrong C word.
What do you think is the right C word?
Control.
Yeah, probably right about that.
Because generally people who do what you do, creative people, people that own businesses, it's not about getting the credit. You give your own credit to yourself and you know, you feel it inside when you are successful and you are proud of yourself. It's the control that is harder to give up.
I will tell you that I am at the start of something so amazingly strange.
Oh, you're well into it.
No. I think it's becoming more concrete for me.
I think it's becoming more concrete for you.
Oh.
I think that you have
as usual,
on this
I'm
path.
The late learner.
Yeah.
That's me. He eventually gets it. I've said it like throughout my course of my career, I've compared myself to a creative slot machine.
Oh,
you're
going
to dump a lot of money into me, but you're going to get a payout.
Eventually.
You're going to get a payout.
No, you're definitely going to get a
I have likened myself to a creative slot machine.
Yeah.
I try not to be, try to be something a lot more consistent. However.
But no, I think that your
path
is clear to you now.
You're not wrong about that.
I think the rest of us have really watched the growth and the movement and the commitment and all of that. And we have watched you be on this path for quite some time. But it's you who's actually realizing that, okay, I'm where I want to be. Yeah. And I'm going where I want to go.
I think I'm exactly where I want to be.
Exactly.
And I think I'm exactly where I need to be with the people I need to be there with.
Right.
I think that, you know, when I said a few shows ago that vision hits differently when you have a team that doesn't blink.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
A lot of people attribute that to, like, their family support. Like, you know, it's like, I do think of a family as a team.
Mm, of course.
You know, and if you don't think of a family as a team, and yes, there is a soft coaching thread in everything that I'm going to say, because I do believe, you know, that a lot of times when we are attempting to teach and coach, it sounds a lot like telling.
Mm-hmm.
Seems a lot like criticism. It seems a lot like veiled critique, because we're afraid to use our messy words sometimes.
Right.
And we're also unafraid to let other people use their messy words to describe it and workshop it out together, which I think is critical to collaboration. We're at a point now where the work product across the board is such an amazing collaborative amalgam. Like, it's such an amazing collaborative experience, that now everybody's filling a little bit of the cup, right? It's not just a few people. It's not just me. And I think as an entrepreneur, as you and I have talked about, as we've gone on this journey, I mean, listen, what? Maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, I was half the size.
Oh, right.
Right?
Right.
Trying to do national work.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to be all things to all people everywhere. And you realize that you really come to that profound realization, or sometimes you don't, as an entrepreneur, I can do bigger things, right? If I'm not doing it all.
Right.
In other words, if I get out of the way.
Relinquishing some of that control.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm telling you.
That ain't easy.
But
it sure is liberating, and it sure is a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
When you see it come together with good people.
And when you just said that, collaborative
experience.
Experience. Mm-hmm. The word that popped into my head to finish that to me for you was collaborative triumph.
Oh, yeah. There's wins for sure.
Big wins.
Yeah, big wins. It's funny that you say that, because at our round table that the team does every week, we have the celebration of wins for, like, yourself and the team.
Mm-hmm.
And we went around the table this week and did that. The lift in the energy, that just that really quick exercise sort of did, was a lot of, you know, this group is gelling, and it's a really fun group. But they're all, a lot of them are high agency,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, there's, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
they want to run. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so learning to run is one thing when you're an individual, but then learning to run as a team is something mm-hmm. completely different.
Right. Well, there's batons right. involved.
Well,
that's
yeah.
why.
I mean,
it's
you're,
a relay.
You're more
it's...
part of a marching band
right.
or a pilot squadron
right.
than you are like on a solo mission.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be allowed, if you're gonna also want to excel at your job as an individual, you sort of need to soar. Individually, at times,
absolutely,
right? And I'm gonna give you an example of that, because it played out in a very profound way for me. And we're gonna start this conversation, you know, get over yourself, get out of your own way, with just a really quick example of something that happened this week. Okay, so I'm gonna kind of start you where I am at now, and I'm gonna kind of work my way backward.
Okay.
Okay. The assembly of a team manifests. The assembly of a team and their success manifests itself in some sort of outcome. Like, you can call yourself a team, but if you're not accomplishing things, then you're just a group of people hanging out.
Right. If you're all right. running in different directions.
Yeah, you're just right. you're sort of just a bunch of people who work at the same place, or you're
right.
just a bunch of people who, you know, sort of make something kind of run.
Sort
but,
of like
but,
the Bears.
But easy, easy. With that, easy. Wow. We'll find out tomorrow
Sorry,
night.
Sorry, I have flannel on.
We're going to find out tomorrow night.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to find out tomorrow night. We're going to find out tomorrow night what we got. But what you look for are these outcomes.
Absolutely.
And in our business, the outcomes is the client experience, right? But the other part of the outcome is also the work product that's produced to sort of have people understand what you're trying to do, what you're trying to achieve, and more importantly, what you can do for them. I handed you two pieces of marketing peripherals
mm-hmm.
that what's very interesting is we are such a digital, you know, we're such a digital society now.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's almost like we're becoming numb to Instagram too, and we're becoming numb to social media. We're becoming numb to websites, right?
Right.
That, you know how people, you know, I think the average amount of time spent on an interior designer's website is like 2 minutes.
Right.
2 or 3 minutes. It's right. Like not very much.
It's very hard to
keep attention.
Yes.
Which is why I've always loved, like, you know, this analog, you know, tactile experience. And what you have in your hands are the first two promotional pieces produced by Lauren, okay? Mm-hmm. Taylor, our awesome marketing person. Mm-hmm. Who is actually sitting to my left, but not on mic, in collaboration with what the team has provided in the way of photographs and, right. and in the way of content, in the way of culture and process that's been building, Nancy, for a couple of years now.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Right? Like right. This service model, this complete service model ending up on a piece of paper. And I know it's a piece of paper, but look at it. Like, yeah. This piece of paper that starts out with this conversation about the art of living well and how we want you to design better, build better, live better, okay, is how we're structured and how we're built. And there is something about having that tactile experience with that makes it important.
For sure. Saying? Right.
It'd be like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's something about it.
Having it in your hand.
I know.
Yeah.
But it's what that represents. What that represents is that's a team win, right?
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I love it. By the way, Lauren, the spiral staircase on this pit.
Beautiful, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, we're gonna be loading these things on our website. We're going to be sharing these with you. And if you go to our website now or you go to our social media, you're going to hear the story about our story, right? And the journey that we've taken. But the first thing that needed to happen is, you know what, Nancy? I could not have produced that. And you know that I love graphic design. And you know right. that I love tinkering with my own marketing.
You're an artist.
And you know how close marketing is to me as a visual.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I've been doing my own marketing for 20 plus years.
Right.
And I think to a certain extent doing it somewhat successfully, but not like this. This is a whole new level because I let Lauren and I let my team run.
You know...
I mean, got out of my way.
Nobody's doing themselves or their business or their family or whatever any favors by not taking advantage of the talents that you see that people are willing to devote to you.
I have to surround myself with people who are better at certain things than I
exactly.
am in order to do what I need to do.
Right.
And what we need to do.
Right.
And more importantly, what we need to do for the clients.
Right. And it's not that you can't. It's that you shouldn't do everything.
Well, but I think
you
it's,
could.
It's almost, I could try. I could not execute.
No.
First of all, not. No. First of all, not with the speed.
And
second
not
of all,
as
not,
well.
Not with, and not as well.
Right.
Like I understand that. And it's interesting how that's playing out in a lot of facets of the growth of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back from the break, what I want to talk about is how this plays out in a number of different ways. Especially with how stubborn we are and how fixated we are with having to show others we have to do it all. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And we're going to encourage you guys to get out of your own way to do big things. That's what we're talking about today.
Absolutely.
I mean, Nancy, have you found, I think any business owner has found themselves at this juncture and at any given time, the quality of your team impacts your trust.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like,
don't even get me
started. You know what I'm saying? And you do actually, as you're building a team, you sort of burn through
right.
figuring out what the right calculus is. Mm-hmm. Like in other words, what's the right combination of players? I'm sure sports teams figure this out on a regular
sure.
basis. Like, you know, if you have too many skill players that all are fighting for the ball and you have no role players, I'm sure that that's an issue, right? Because uh-huh. ego gets in the way. I'm sure if you don't have enough skill players, but everybody's really nice, you're really nice, but you don't have the skill sets to sort of right. elevate in certain areas, right?
And sometimes it's very hard. You know, like you just absolutely love somebody, but you know it's just not working.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it's toxic or just can't do it, can't grasp it, whatever, and they have to go.
Well, and it's interesting because I'm finding that it's the people who can't get out of their own way to trust the team process
right.
that have the most difficulty growing and succeeding.
I can tell you
it's
so many
the, I have to do it.
Yes, that's exactly right.
I have to do it by my own self to do
right,
it.
Right.
Okay, that's not great.
Right.
Like, okay, what are your like Little Miss Bossy Pants or Little Mr. Have To on my own? Okay, neither one of those work.
Bossy Pants?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, Little Miss
Bossy. Stop talking about
Little Miss Bossy Pants, or if you're Little Mr. Leave Me Alone.
Oh my God.
Okay,
I can do this on
it's
my
all
own.
Me. I got it. Like, if that's right. your posture, right? You've completely, right. you're never going to get anywhere.
Right.
You're just not.
And the thing that people have the hardest time grasping is that the input from the other people and the team.
I know where you're going.
It helps them.
It's critique.
Right.
It sharpens. It hones. That's what it does. It's designed to do that.
It supports.
But we are critique adverse. Like I said, we all want to give an opinion, but we don't want to take critique.
Nope.
How screwed up is that? Okay. Well, so the first lesson.
But I know everything.
You don't know.
About my business.
Because the problem is, you don't know what
you don't
know.
Here's
That's the
thing.
Problem.
Right. I have a good example. This fits right in. I promise. So.
No, cook.
I write commercials. Mm-hmm. For our clients here at the radio station.
Yes, you do.
They like to write their own commercials. Mm. I do not like that. I will tell you why. I know that you know everything about your business. I 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
But I know how to talk and what to say about what you do.
Yes.
In order to get your customers or future customers' attention.
Because
you're so
right in that. Because here's what happens with business owners. And I do this and I have done this and I've learned not to. I've learned to remove this as well. You ask me about my business, it's like asking somebody what time it is, and I will tell you how a watch is made.
Exactly.
Because I'm trying to get out all of the excitement and enthusiasm of what I do, and sometimes the elevator pitch escapes me. What has helped is the feedback from, especially now with Lauren coming on board and this team understanding how we buy into, how we explain what we do, the distillation process. Mm-hmm. To turn the mash into whiskey, is the magic.
Right.
It's the brevity. Like they say, brevity is the soul of wit.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So
yeah.
By the way, so is timing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you gotta have
for sure.
But if you take that analogy and you could sort of play that out, it's like if you would just allow people, right, to apply their expertise,
right,
to your benefit. By taking yourself out of something to allow yourself to be shaped, that is exactly what I'm talking about getting out of your own way. Mm-hmm. That is a extremely difficult thing to do when you're young.
I tell people
there was no telling me that. There was no telling me to get up on a ladder and so I have someone else execute a decorative finish for me.
Okay, but counter that. As you get older, it doesn't get any easier because now you're set in your ways.
See, I think that.
So the fact that's
the beauty.
Well, the fact that you've overcome that, I'm very proud of you.
But guess what? Guess what? Did nature leave me a choice?
No, it did not.
No.
No.
See, when I say to you, when I write those blogs about like 7 lessons learned from watering the garden, right? That sometimes if you want something to grow, you have to carry the water to it. The plant's not going to walk to the water. Okay. And it's not going to tell you it's thirsty other than wilting.
Right.
And you need to pay attention to that. Mm-hmm. And so therefore it's incumbent not upon the flower to be like, you know, it's telling you it needs to be watered.
Yeah.
It's telling you all of those things.
But you knew that when you planted it, that it was going to need water.
And neglected it anyway.
And you neglected it.
Okay. So these, all of these things that are naturally inherent in this process, whether it's aging or maturity or whatever it is. The wisdom that comes from understanding how to collaborate, which it all goes back to this collaboration. Remember I told you life is one big collaborative experience?
Yeah.
Like it's one big collaboration. And whether you think you're doing it or not, it's not. You are doing it. You're either doing it well or you're not doing it enough.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
It's one of the two. Either you really feel like you're doing it and you really feel like you're collaborating, or you're probably doing it in a subpar way on some level.
Just to get by.
And I find that the people who are doing it on a subpar level want too much control. That's it.
Yeah. 100%.
Okay. It's the Mr. and Mrs. Bossy Pants. Okay. who just wanna be the ones calling all the shots.
Right.
Okay. Is where that inner you know, mommy let me do it,
mm-hmm.
okay, turns into that as an adult, okay?
Right.
And the ability to share the gift, okay, of gifting to someone else the opportunity to try on your behalf is really imperative in this conversation about getting out of your own way. Because I'm going to give you another example that was manifested itself this week again in the other peripheral that you have in your hands, which I'm really excited about.
My favorite room.
For the longest time, yeah. Is it your favorite room?
It is.
Oh, that's cool. For the longest time, I've had this idea called the anatomy of an interior.
Mm-hmm. And we've talked about that a lot.
A long time. Yeah. It was kind of, and listen, I have tried unsuccessfully to bring this to fruition,
uh-huh.
which is why having it manifest itself in your hands right now, right, is just really, like, it's really, it's important to me. And it's important to me for the following reasons. It is both an explanation of how great interiors are put together, but it's also a coaching document to not gatekeep the resources
right.
to be able to do beautiful design. See, I'm not, as a designer, there's a lot of designers that are a little bit obsessed in the industry with gatekeeping their resources. I have news for you. The internet changed all of that.
Oh yeah, good luck with that.
It's called, you know, 1998, get right. over it. Everybody can find everything.
Yeah.
Nothing, there is no secret anymore.
Right.
Okay.
Including your current blood pressure.
There is no Amish guy you know that builds better cabinets than everyone else doesn't know about.
Nope. He's on the internet too.
Yeah. He's got an Instagram page too. Right. He's doing TikTok also.
You got
newsflash, right?
But
he's out there now. Right.
He's on TikTok.
Curls and hat and all. Okay. And I'm just letting you know that right now our focus on this is to share the resources. To celebrate the partners that help us put these beautiful spaces together. So it's this document that just doesn't celebrate our creative process, our honoring the trust the client has put in our vision, but it also honors, to be quite candid with you, like it honors the promotional opportunity for the vendors who actually comprise the designs we put together.
Right.
Because it's the compilation of that makes it, yes, it's our eye, and yes, it's our stewardship, but it's an assembly of other artists and other creators and other artisans and other manufacturers that represents. It's almost like a visual manifestation of collaboration. And you have one side. So just to describe this for everybody, and I think we're going to be posting this on Instagram, maybe like the spread or something. But if it's not already up there now, if you go to it and you take a look at it, you're going to see one side is sort of like the components where it's almost like a mood board, if you will, for lack of a better term. It's the key components that sort of comprise the design. Then you flip it over and you see the interior put together about how they played out in practical application. So much better than a before and after. You know, because before and afters are meant to show like the worst of the worst space and then how it was transformed.
Yeah.
This is more of the how.
Because honestly,
it's
who
the
cares?
Coaching.
Who cares about the before? You're right. It's about the outcome.
How do you get there?
Right.
This document is exactly what HGTV is missing.
Yeah.
How did I get there?
Right.
Not, the granite might not show up on time. Oh. I hope it fits. Shoot to them crying outside on the sidewalk. Okay? And then, magically, the granite fits.
Ta-da! Oh, yeah! Look, it's the granite hero.
And then they have the frickin' whatever. They have the stones to tell you that it was only $3,000.
Right.
Okay? When everybody and their uncle knows it was $7,800 bucks to $10,000 to put it in.
Right.
Please. Mm-hmm. Go sell crazy somewhere else. Here's what we're not going to do. We're going to share the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to show you how to create amazing spaces. But in order to create amazing spaces, sometimes you have to get out of the way.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Which means, could I have done, and you know this, I'm an artist, right? Could I have done some of the elements within the rooms, right? Could I do them personally? No. You know what I've decided? I've got better framers than I can frame.
Mm-hmm.
I've got better artists that can portray things within the rooms than my talent will allow. And because artists oftentimes see themselves as the creators and not the collaborators, I think it's very interesting for those of you listening who want to pigeonhole yourself into one identity box of I have to make it. You know what, Nancy? I did make that.
Yeah.
I did think of it.
Right.
I did make the selections, pitch them to the clients, but baked into that are the client's preferences, the client's love of travel, my eye, the resources of the amazing vendors with whom we work.
Right.
And also the contractors who provide the mind and the muscle to make it happen. I did a show how long ago where it big things are hard.
Yeah.
You know what makes big things easier? More help.
Teamwork.
Teamwork. And I also think that one of the things that where we get in our way is we don't express enough to the people, I think maybe sometimes closest to us, how much we need help.
Right.
You know, I think pride, and I will tell you, especially at the entrepreneurial level, the pride is one of the major reasons you get held back. You can't accept the fact that you're not the smartest, best person in the room. Why? Because you're holding on to your vision, right? And not allowing other talents to shape that vision, right, in a more clear and better way.
I mean, clearly, their vision is contributing to your vision, your...
Yeah, but
I go back to outcome, your goals, your... So that's a collaboration.
I just never thought the other side of this...
Right.
...would feel better than doing it on my own.
Ah.
That's okay. What I didn't count on.
Okay.
What I didn't count on is... You see my posture right now.
Yeah. Makes complete sense.
It's two pieces of paper. Mm-hmm. Like, in the physical. But it's not. Like, it's not. And so having it come to life is what we're going to talk about in the next two segments is how do you get out of your own way to make those big ideas come to life? Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Okay, we're not going to tell them what we talked about off air. We're not going to do that. That's hilarious.
Don't.
Anyway,
right.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. Listen, I have to tell you that this design better, build better, live better is going to be something that you're really going to be hearing a lot about, because I believe that if you do want to live better, it has to be done by design. And I don't mean interior design. I just mean by design that an intentional life.
Purposeful.
Yeah, that an intentional
grateful
approach to life, a life on offense versus on defense, it's just more fulfilling.
Yeah.
It's more fulfilling. It's more rewarding. And before the break, I was mentioning how this sense of immense joy and pride that I feel by having created this team and the outcomes that we're producing has manifested itself in these two peripheral marketing pieces that I was just talking about. That coming to it makes it tangible, right, Nancy?
Oh, absolutely.
It makes it tangible.
It does.
And
it does.
You keep picking it up and you keep looking at them and then you flip back and forth. And what I love about the printed word and what I love about that type of marketing is you can study it.
Right.
Hard to study as you scroll.
Mm-hmm. Well, because
really
you're
hard to study as you scroll.
We don't. That's all we do anymore is scroll. We don't stop and enjoy, smell the roses, so to speak. And what keeps grabbing me about this one, as far as the statement seller is concerned.
That's the title of the piece.
That's the title of the piece. I loved this room the first time you showed it to me without knowing what went into it and all of that. But I did see it on a picture on my phone. But it struck me as this is a... just such a dramatically striking design. I just love it. I don't know what about it makes me love
it
so much.
It's bold. It's bold.
It's. I tell you what. I keep drawing to the countertop. I would have never imagined using that. I can't. And this whole room, the tile, just all of it. It right down to the hardware is just striking. Like it was gorgeous.
And it was designed for that because it's
exactly
a small room. If you guys don't know the size of this room, room is maybe like 6 feet wide by maybe 11 or 12 feet deep.
Yeah. You like a little hallway.
You wouldn't know that by
no,
the photo.
No, absolutely not.
Right.
Absolutely not. And it just, but it's probably one of the best examples I've ever seen of your work and how you take things that we would never think of and put them together. And it's like, how in the world did we not think of this? Like, everybody should have a room that looks exactly like this because it is just dramatically striking. It sucks you in. You look at every detail. But this is what you do. And this has got to be one of the best examples of that.
And I get to do it.
You get to do it. See, that's the other thing.
I get to do it.
Yep.
And I think that as we sort of evaluate, you know, people listening on the radio today and they're thinking to themselves, how am I getting in the way? Because everyone thinks that they're, you know, behind museum glass in some sort of amazing finished work. And the reality is that you should always have some sort of architecture and scaffolding around something.
Sure.
On yourself.
Yeah.
You should be working on something.
Always build it.
Right. Always, always working on something. You know, I recently had someone say to me, wow, I think, who was this? It was a vendor of ours saying, you know, at your age, I have a lot of people your age that be thinking about, like, you know, what's next after design? You know, I mean, listen, I'm 56, which means from 56 to 65, people start thinking about landing the plane. No. You know that that's not me. That's
never going to happen. Right? He's going to be like 102 years old, Lauren. And we're going to be like, dude, can you sit down?
No, they're going to make Julie pick me up in the corner and say, you know what? He's picking plaids again for an imaginary project.
Yeah,
I need you to come pick him up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, okay. And you know what we're going to say is no, he's happy. So let him do it. He loves that. That's all he wants to do.
As long as I'm showered and I can wear plaid and boots, right. I'm going to be fine.
Right.
It'll be great.
Right.
It'll be great for me. Anyway, we digress. But I will say that as we've sort of made this jump, right, and as I've had to go through this really, really big molecular change, both physically and mentally, you know, I've had to really understand. I think the hardest part is okay. You've built the team. Fantastic. That's great. Congratulations. You are allowing them to shape the outcomes with talents that you don't have. Fantastic. That sounds even better because you can expand your bandwidth. You can expand your the range of ideas and options and problem solving capabilities, so like beyond yourself. Fantastic. Like all of those things are true. The hardest thing though is to keep your core vision aligned. Right, because everybody will have a different idea, you know, as you invite these quote-unquote experts in to be able to sort of shape you. Okay, the reality is, you know, there's a little bit of an intention behind it that on their part is also self-serving, right?
Sure.
So the goal in it is to say, where is their place in the collaboration? A we or a me? Now, Nancy, I know that you've done this. I know that you've had people, and people go through this transition too. What you hope is that people transition from me, because they all come in the beginning wanting something.
Right.
Right. They're longing for something, and they're not totally clued into your vision, and you're cool with that. You hope that me turns into a really nice, healthy balance of me and we.
Right. Absolutely.
Not the other way around, that it starts as, yeah, we, but it's really me. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really them. It was never really we. It was always me. Okay. That's where it gets a little bit dicey. And as you develop the team, and as you develop teams, you begin to let go of and getting yourself out of the way. That is an important note that I want to make sure people are aware of. You have to vet. And I'm going to tell you one of the easiest ways to vet. Okay.
Okay. Good. Yes.
Action.
I would love to know. Ooh, action. Okay.
People run at things they believe in.
Right.
They run at things where they believe they can have an impact. There's a natural inertia if you've hired the right people to want to create without being prompted or asked. That's a really important thing. You know that I've called it negative space because I'm going to explain this again, I think, for the probably 25th time on this show. So I apologize if you've heard this already. But as an artist, when you're putting a composition together, you're not just trained to look at the image that you're painting. You're looking at the negative space around the image to make sure the composition holds within the frame or within the canvas. You're looking for the negative space around it.
Mm-hmm.
You can learn a lot in life by looking at the negative space. What people Remember, inaction is an action.
What isn't there?
What aren't they doing?
Right.
Okay? What aren't they saying? What aren't they doing? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't manifest itself in words. It manifests itself in action. And when you see inaction, you have to drive at inaction. What is it that about this environment or about this collaborative environment that I'm asking you to participate in, what is holding you back from giving yourself? Now, there's a variety of levels here to this conversation, and I'm going to explore a few. One is people have tried to do that in the past and been shut down.
Right.
People have tried to offer themselves in a vulnerable, creative way or in a way that collaborates, and they've just been absolutely vilified for it,
right,
or made to feel less than for it, or their ideas are not accepted. And sometimes it's to the people closest to them. I've done that. In my attempt to try to build this team, I've had various levels of doing that.
Sure.
Right? And I've asked my, I mean, no one knows this more than my wife, Julie, right? Early it was just like, you know, like, we're two lions on a plane sometimes, right? We both think we have the right idea for the way this is going to go down. We've really learned that balance.
Right.
As a couple.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've learned what means, uh-huh, right? Where, you know, you look for the pauses in, uh-huh, the speech.
Right.
Right. And then you learn to look at this and say, no, this requires better of me, mm-hmm, right? This requires me to be okay, that I can be vulnerable because I know that she's going to be vulnerable. And I know that oftentimes in corporation or in corporate speak, that's not valued. What's valued is protection and litigation,
right,
policy, procedure, and all of the things that are sort of anti-human in a way. Mm-hmm. Right.
But also that's anti-common sense. That is not, you are not going to get there from here.
But in my sphere, it's anti-collaboration.
Yeah.
See, if I have to prompt someone's action in collaboration, I don't really have a collaborator.
You're not collaborating.
And rather than dismiss them, what I've learned is, hey, I know you're capable of it. So sometimes what I'm saying is when you make the exit to hire someone, remember that they're coming to this offering with the same level of discomfort you are sometimes.
Sure.
Like if you feel fearful of giving up control, they might be fearful of taking up too much control.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're fearful of sharing too. That's the bridge that you have. That is 100% the bridge you have to cross.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's funny because Lauren's over here shaking her head yes, because she knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Like she knows, and all of my team members know that's the bridge I'm trying to cross, not only with my team to try to explain an idea, to try to come up with a big outcome, to try to service a client. Like they know that's the bridge. And as long as now we know, hey, we know that's the bridge, we have to determine what the span of that gap is. We have to determine all of these other things. But if you don't understand that's exactly what we try to do with clients is to bridge the fear gap, I get it. It's scary to get out of your own way and it's scary to give up control. Okay? And I'm not saying just like blank check or, you know, I'm not saying be irresponsible with it. That's not the message today.
No.
The message today is to be thoughtful and understand that it's kind of a contract. See?
Right.
It's a two-way street.
Right.
Right? It's a contract. Right? In my sphere, I'm trying to create opportunity. I trust that the people that I've hired know that these are the opportunities that I try to create them space to take advantage of. But the other part of the contract is I expect you to take advantage of them and contribute.
Right.
That's interesting because I'm going to take it to the client side real quick. Like a lot of people will look at a design, and I know that everyone listening who has had to give any kind of creative feedback uses incomplete words, right? You can't just shove a Pinterest board at me or an Instagram feed or a bunch of random photos on your phone from your travel and have me play mind reader like the ransom note that you all send me. Okay? the client demand, and that's why I call it a ransom note. And you laugh every time I say it, but it's true.
It's because the demand is, I want this ransom note.
It is. It's I want this. Here's the. Can't you see from the 9 photos that I'm scrolling past
that are 1 inch by 2 inches? Oh my God!
Yeah, that are blurry with your hot dog in the way. Like it's like please, can you please? For the love of God, try to use your big person words, okay? And let's have an adult conversation about that.
Okay, but you are the design coach. And one of the things that you've projected and you have perfected at this point is the ability to coach those big people words out of them. Because the thing is that we don't always know those words. I don't know. I like what this looks like. I don't know that it's Mediterranean terraza from India.
I'm about to give everyone the key.
Okay. In the next segment?
Oh.
Or right now?
No, this is great. I just got the 1 minute mark. Yeah. Here's what we're going to do. When I come back from the break, we're going to talk about the key.
Oh, good. Okay,
when people use their messy, ambiguous words,
okay,
how do you come to creative consensus? And I'm going to give you the key when we come back from the break. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip. I'm having too much fun today. No, that's not true.
No, we never have too much fun on the radio. We always have a lot of fun.
Anyway, so, welcome back, everybody. Yes, you in the blue.
Yes, so going back to the last segment.
I love that you're both wearing plaid right now. This is fantastic. Sorry, I just erupted everyone's.
You did.
Yes.
We don't always know what to say when it comes to something like this, which is the whole purpose. Mm-hmm. I mean, this really the show comes full circle right now. You are the design coach. You have perfected your ability to coach the best out of your team, out of your clients, out of your workspaces, out of your suppliers, out of your vendors, out of your, all of it. That's the whole point, is that we don't always come to you and know what to say.
That's the whole point.
Right. I don't know what to say. So
that's the whole point of why people come to me.
Right.
And because it's big, because it's overwhelming, and because they don't have the words and they don't know how to put it together. But I will tell you that when I say to you the key, it has a little bit of a caveat.
Okay. Oh, bear.
It has to come from this place, though.
Okay.
It has to come from, it's okay that you don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is okay.
And it's okay that you don't know, but you have to acknowledge that you do not. See,
what you
cannot do is, I am not a court jester, and you are not a king and a queen, and you do not get to thumbs up or thumbs down, okay, the recommendation without why.
Exactly.
You don't get to cut off my head,
right?
Okay, king and queen, by thumbs upping and thumbs down.
Right.
You don't get to do that. What you get to do is, the contract is, I owe you two things, my best idea and the justification as to why I think it fits your vision.
True.
That's what I owe you as a designer.
True.
And then if you don't like that idea, you don't like my justification, then we get to talk about why. You owe me that.
Exactly.
You owe me the explanation.
Right.
This is where it gets really interesting. Typically, people will use the ambiguous, messy words in design, like, well, it's too rustic, or it's too contemporary, or it's too transitional, or it's too traditional. Okay? Here's the key. Are you guys ready for the key? The key is, when someone makes a comment about a particular selection within maybe a mood board that you've presented, you need to ask them to boil it down to specific materials.
Right.
What about the overall design makes it feel too rustic? Maybe it's the colors. Maybe they have a certain response to the colors. Maybe they have a certain response to the hardware and the style of it. You can't talk in generalities.
No.
If you're going to collaborate, you have to talk in specifics. And I don't care if it's, you're coaching your child on a navigation of a relationship. What specifically makes you uneasy about this situation you're in?
Mm-hmm.
What is it specifically?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm afraid. Of what? Not, you can't be afraid. No. See,
what
everybody mm-hmm. doesn't do in getting out of their own way is when they hit the wall of doing it, they're like, see, I should just be in control because you don't get me. That's what we all do. I do it. Okay? My team's seen me do that, and they've seen me overcome that. Like, okay, wait, hold on. Let me check down that first response. Let me hit playback. And let me go at this from a little bit of a different angle.
Rewind.
And then I ask them to do the same. That's all I ask, because I don't ask them to come at me with their not messy words. What I ask is, okay, that response was slightly hostile,
right,
or a little defensive, or it seems like that comment was laced,
right?
And it's okay if they say it was. And it's like, oh, if they own it, I'm like, fantastic. Can we talk about why I don't really need that right now? Like, what I really need is this,
right?
And then they're usually like, yeah, why? Because there's a respect,
right?
So the key in all of this is, when you get out of your own way, you better surround yourself with people whose opinions you really respect, whose counsel you value. And if you're not doing that, you are a product of the company that you keep.
Yep. Product of your environment.
If you want control, you will breed people who are indifferent, because they know no matter how hard they try, you're always going to want control.
Right.
So you breed yes people. So if you're looking at your family and you've bred yes people because you're a helicopter parent, this is what you've created.
Right.
So it's time to land the helicopter, turn the engine off, and have a conversation.
Yeah.
Okay? Because your engine noise and the freaking propeller got in the way of a real conversation.
Let it go.
Oh, gosh.
Let it go.
My God.
You're welcome for sticking that in your head this morning.
I know, right?
Ladies and gentlemen.
But there's.
But that's exactly it.
I don't. Listen, this show is about the link between life and design, mm-hmm. and that they're one and the same, and that the intentionality with which you create things plays out in real life every day. If you don't think you're making an artistic statement by breathing, you are. Now, that either freaks you out.
Okay, that freaks me out.
That either freaks you out, that everything you do has a ripple effect in the universe. Everything you do has a ripple effect. How you speak, what you do, what you say, what you do, what you don't do, all has a ripple effect in the universe and the people around you. Then, right, you're just ignorant.
Nobody's alone on that island.
No.
Nobody.
Nobody. In fact, the fact that we feel like we're arrogant enough to think that it doesn't, or that we're abusive enough to think that the ripples we make we want, that's equally as bad.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
And that if you ripple out, that it's not going to ripple back, that's the worst. That's narcissism at its worst. Yeah. That I can ripple out, but you can dish it out, but you can't take it.
Right.
Stop.
Yeah.
Guess what? Get over yourself.
Exactly.
And get out of your own way.
Exactly.
Okay? Because it will be the vulnerability. And I believe that this comes from that love place, right? That comes from that love, that passion, that intentionality. That there is, there's a gateway there, right? That the gateway is, I might get hurt by doing this, okay? But I'd rather keep opening the door until the right person and the right collaborator finds me than shutting the door completely. Because if I want to do big things, I know I need others.
Have to.
You have to. And it's not just do big things. It's actually be fulfilled. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think the one thing that I can point to is when, you know, Julie and I we're different people. We like the same things. We dislike some of the same things too, which is key. You know, sometimes who you both don't like or people or things you both don't like is bonding. Mm-hmm. Okay. I heard a comedian say that. I can't take credit for that. But I will say that what we've learned is we've always been in it together. Right? I never doubted that. We might not have always said it the right way or done it the right way, but that was never in doubt. It's when you doubt everything at its core that it's a problem.
Right.
But you better have a conversation about the core. And sometimes the reason we don't is because we're afraid of the answer. See, teaching people to get at that earlier in life, like, why do I want to do that? what is my intention behind it? What is their intention for wanting to be around me or with me, right? Or in it or not in it? I will tell you that one of those key triggers is absolutely looking at the inaction. If you have to prompt love, if you have to prompt action, guys, red flag. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It means they're not that into you or into what you're doing. If they're not responsive, they're not that into it.
Right.
They don't. People make people a priority or they don't.
What you're saying is, though, is you have to get out of your own way in that you have to give yourself permission to let those people go.
Mm-hmm. Because it makes room for someone else. I'm going to
exactly.
give you this. I would rather, and I've said this, and I don't know if Lauren's ever heard this, but I would rather, and what I've learned as a business owner is, I either want you in the room or out of the room, but I cannot have you in the doorway.
Right.
In the doorway means you are taking up space for someone else to walk through that door.
And standing in the way. Mm-hmm. And not only standing in the way of people coming in, but standing in the way of other people getting out. Like, it's a two-way street. You never, ever fire someone in a business too soon. But most always you let them go too late.
True.
And it's already created a ripple that you do not want and that you have to draw back.
100%. 100%.
But that's also getting out of your own way to admit to yourself, okay, this control I'm allowed to take.
And it is a fallacy that as you grow through a longer period of time, that you can't find multiple collaborators.
Right.
So, you know, you just because you collaborated with someone on one album doesn't mean you have to call them up the next time you do an album.
Exactly.
Like, that happens. People come in and out of you ride together for a while, right? And then you don't.
Right.
Right? Where you don't want that to be is in the most important people in your life.
Well, true.
That you can have.
Right.
Okay? And so that level of understanding, especially in the collaborative environment, that it's okay to find new voices and new collaborators. But if you've locked the door, if all you want is to be safe and in control, you will never really do things to your utmost potential.
Mm-hmm.
The vision will never come true. And I want that for everybody. I want their best life to come true. Anyway, thank you for joining us on this Turtleneck Sunday and the start of the NFL football season.
Flannel.
Go Bears!
Flannel.
You've been coached.